Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of Trim Tower. And every Monday morning, we do the movie reviews, and we take a look at the box office for the weekend. Eric Childress and Colin Suter join me every week, and we interview all the review all the new movies, and we'll talk about the box office as well. Eric, by the way, will not be joining us for this segment this morning. Eric is at the South by Southwest Film Fest in Austin, Texas, and is currently watching, probably 63 movies. He tends to see a lot of movies when he goes to these film festivals, more than any human should be allowed, I think. So he is currently probably in a late night screening in Texas. So he will not be here, but Colin will, and in fact joins me now. Let's welcome Colin to the show. Hello, Colin.
Hello there.
Hey. So do you know what the big super secret screening that that Eric is attending this evening?
Well, if it's Mad Max Fury Road.
No, it's not. It's not. Okay. No, it's not. Okay. It is indeed Furious 7.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
that's fine. All
yeah,
right.
He texted me to rub it in because he knows how much I love those movies, and so he's like, yeah, they just announced a surprise screening of Furious 7. I'm like, you bastard.
Because I'm fine. I don't care. Like that. That's okay.
You yeah. No. But no. No. Seriously. But I
know
mean,
you care. But yeah.
No. I know. But you know. I mean. Obviously, the Mad Max movie is the one that I'm most looking for. I got to tell you. You know, there's a Star Wars movie coming out this year.
Yes.
But
yep.
I'm much more concerned about the Mad Max movie.
Well, yeah. Of course. I'm. Yeah. The Mad Max thing is the thing for the first half of the year, and then once that's died down for me, once the excitement of that has died down for me, which will probably be around August, then I will start
being concerned about the second half of the year.
Yeah. About the Star Wars movie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a look at the box office. I know, you know, normally Eric does a big breakdown every week.
Yes, he does.
Of the
I'll
box
do my
office.
Best to match his skills. His very special set of skills.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So Cinderella made $70 million over the weekend, and that's the live-action version from Disney of Cinderella, which I did not see, so you're going to have to handle this one when we get to it.
Sure.
I think $70 million seems about right. I mean, I'm assuming that everyone thought this thing was going to do pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, this is March has become one of those tentpole release dates. You know, early March, last year, Oz the Great and Powerful.
2 years ago. That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah. Okay, so I pulled in like $80 million.
Yeah.
Around that. So $70 million is pretty good for this. It's the biggest opening weekend Kenneth Branagh's ever had. $5 million more than Thor.
It made more than Thor. Wow.
It by about $5 million, which is, I mean, you know, it's pretty cool to see Kenneth Branagh like having this kind of success. He's sort of forging himself another career here, as being like, you know, a director of big blockbusters, which is pretty interesting.
Considering,
you know, he's been Mr. Shakespeare for like 20 years and, you know, he's doing well for himself.
Yeah. It's surprising, you know. I mean, he has had a really interesting career in that regard. You know, starting out as like the sort of, you know, like, I mean, when he burst on the scene with Henry V, I mean, that was, you know, like he was just like this wonder kid at that point.
He was only in his 20s. It was a big epic, and it was he brought Shakespeare, you know, back into the semi, you know, mainstream or art house, and you know, just kind of, you know, started a whole new, you know, sort of thing in the 90s, you know, where Shakespeare movies were hip again.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then now he's doing like big budget, you know, blockbusters, like you said, and he's become like an action director too. I mean, he did the last Jack Ryan movie.
That's right. Yeah.
He was also in that as the villain. And it's interesting to see the trajectory that his career has taken.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. And right now, I mean, I'm looking at his IMDb page, and there's nothing in the pipeline for him at the moment. So, you know, after, you know, raking in $70 million for this and $65 million for Thor, interesting to see where he goes from here.
Yeah, yep. All right, so Cinderella was number one. Number two was Run All Night with $11 million. Now, I don't know where that lands in the Liam Neeson opening weekend, but I think it's pretty low.
It is pretty low. It didn't bring in as much as Taken 3 earlier this year, and not as much as Nonstop from last year. But it almost matched Walk Among Tombstones, also from last year, which pulled in $12.8 million its opening weekend. I think the deal is the worse the movie, the better the opening for him. I'm not tipping my hat to my review for this thing
right
yet, but Taken 3 is what I never saw Taken 3, but it wasn't screened for critics, which isn't a good sign.
It sucked.
and Nonstop was pretty bad too. So
yeah, Nonstop started out okay. It started out. Yeah. I was with Nonstop for about the first 45 minutes, and then I was like, what the hell.
Yeah.
It just kept getting more and more absurd. And the word absurd is a common word to use in these Liam Neeson action movies.
Sure.
Or at least many of them. But that one was just ridiculous. Run All Night, kind of a disappointing opening for Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson's. And number three is, man, this movie just keeps hanging in there. Kingsman, The Secret Service, with $6.2 million. Now, again, there's a huge drop-off after Cinderella here.
Right.
So it's not like it's not like it was a blockbuster weekend at the box office. Outside of Cinderella doing pretty really good numbers, everything else kind of drops off from there. But still, this Kingsman movie, which I never expected, is now over $100 million.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think word of mouth has a lot to do with that. There's a lot of people who really enjoyed this movie, and it is also absurd, but in a sort of a gleeful way. It sort of revels in its absurdity,
yeah,
and it's winking at the audience, and I think the audience is on board with that and is having a lot of fun with it. I think it's an okay movie, but it's nice to see that was the movie that opened the same weekend as 50 Shades of Grey, and you'll know where that movie is in the top.
Yeah,
well, right now
it's gone.
yeah, and Kingsman is hanging in there, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do too, and I like that movie. I actually enjoyed Kingsman. I thought it was a lot of fun. Number four is Focus with $5.8 million, bringing its total to $44 million. This is just not Will Smith numbers.
No, I think it's gonna be a while before we see Will Smith numbers the way we used to see them again.
Yeah.
I think there's Bad Boys 3 in the pipeline.
Oh,
there's,
God.
It's being rumored start at least.
Is Michael Bay attached?
Oh, God, I hope not. But it would surprise me. Let's see here. No.
I mean, he did the first two, so.
Oh, yeah, it says, well, it's according to IMDb, he's rumored to do it.
Okay.
And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he did.
Yeah. So. God, did I hate that second one. I hated that second movie so much. Seriously, one of my most hated movies that I've ever seen is Bad Boys 2. God, did I hate that movie.
2 hours and 40 minutes.
Unbelievable contempt. Unbelievable contempt for your audience. That's what that movie was.
Absolutely.
Number five, Chappie, $5.8 million. That dropped off big.
That's a bomb. That is a bomb. $23 million right now.
Number six is the second best exotic Marigold Hotel, $5.7 million, which is still solid.
Yeah,
considering the release, the kind of movie it is, the audience that it's aimed at is not your typical like the audience that's going to go see Kingsman is not going to be the audience that sees. second best Exotica Marigold Hotel.
No, it's not. And I think it expanded from how many screens it was on earlier when it first was released, and now it's on a lot more screens. So, and it's doing okay for itself.
Seven is the SpongeBob movie, which is a huge success. $4.1 million, bringing its total up to almost $155 million. Number eight is McFarland USA, $3.6 million. Number nine, still in the top ten, American Sniper. It's made $341 million. And then The Duff comes in at number 10 with $2.9 million. So overall, not a huge weekend at the box office. Cinderella did very well. Everything else drops off. Yeah. All right, so Colin, hang out, okay?
Okay.
All right, Colin's going to hang out. When we come back, we'll review the new movies. And it is 312-981-7200 for your text and talk. And you can also check us out at facebook.com/NickDShow. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The movie reviews continue with me and Colin. Eric is on assignment at the South by Southwest Film Festival. And we shall return after this on WGN. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. You can also send your text to 312-981-7200. And it's time for the movie reviews. We just went through the box office. The big winner this weekend is Cinderella, the live-action version from Disney, with $70 million over the weekend. And we've got some other movies to talk about. And Colin Suter is with us. Eric, by the way, is at the South by Southwest Film Festival. So he will not be joining us this morning to review movies. However, we will get a report from Eric from the South by Southwest Film Festival, giving us all the details on the movies that he's seeing as we speak. But Colin Suter is with us, who joins us every week. And Colin, welcome back, sir.
I sort of picture Eric like very much multitasking, you know, watching a Duplass movie on the big screen while having a Swanberg movie playing on a tablet in his lap, and listening to a Gibney documentary on his phone all at the same time. That's kind of how I picture it.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I don't think it's very far removed from the truth, quite frankly. Yeah.
Right.
All right, well, listen, we got some movies to talk about. Why don't you tell us about Merchants of Doubt? I didn't see it. Tell me about Merchants of Doubt.
Okay, well, this is a documentary from the director of Food Incorporated. And this is based on a book by the same name, Merchants of Doubt. And basically, it's a documentary about corporate shills and people who are propped up on TV and who say things against climate change, you know, about pharmaceuticals, apologizing for big tobacco, and so on. And the movie repeatedly uses magicians doing card tricks as a metaphor for the lies that, you know, get told and how they get covered up and how the public perception is formed based on these pundits who, you know, spew out all these things out of their mouths when they go on TV and speak before the cameras. And, you know, it's kind of a tired metaphor, and it becomes a little too obvious after a while. I mean, when the movie first started, I had no idea what it was about. I was a screener, and I threw it in, and all of a sudden, I see a magician. I thought it's going to be a movie about magicians, but no, it's a little more. It's not as exciting as that. I started to get the feeling that the film was kind of talking down to me, which is kind of how I feel when I watch a movie like this that is very much all about, you know, oh, the media is conspiring against us, and, you know, there are lies being told by the media and everything. And the movie is very much, you know, of that sort of alarmist style where it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, I know this. You know, I anybody who, you know, watches, you know, The Daily Show or, you know, once a week knows all this stuff already.
Yeah.
You know, we know not to trust the pundits and the talking heads on Fox News and the drones on CNN and all that stuff. This is not really news. But there are some interesting, you know, facts and tidbits and things about the film. But the movie never really rises above anything more than, just, you know, talking heads talking about talking heads.
All right. Playing, by the way, if you're interested, playing at the River East and at the Landmark Century Center Cinemas. All right, so that's the first movie that we've got going on here. All right, Colin, tell us about Cinderella.
All right. Well, this is, like we said, Kenneth Branagh's latest. And there's almost no point in telling the storyline here because the movie follows the Disney version of the fairy tale rather faithfully. So, you know, I mean, so when you go into this movie, you know, you already know the story. We all know the story. Everybody knows the story. And the movie doesn't really deviate from it at all. And so it's kind of it's refreshing on one hand and sort of disappointing on the other hand. Refreshing because this is a movie completely free of cynicism. This is an out-and-out fairy tale done in the Disney tradition. There's no allegory. There's no sort of feminist slant to it that they're going for, you know, with Frozen. There's really nothing in terms of a special, you know, version of the story that we haven't already seen. And that's also sort of disappointing in that the movie is a little empty. That, you know, kind of makes me wonder, well, why did it have to be made? And why did it have to be made? Well, because it's, you know, Disney and it's their bottom line and it's March and we need a fairy tale movie for this time of year. That's why it's made. But it's not with that. It doesn't feel like it's with that kind of cynicism. You know, Kenneth Branagh's very, he didn't phone this one in. He's very into this. He's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, Kenneth Branagh loves to do. He loves royalty. He loves opulence. He loves that sort of British, you know, pomp and circumstance. And there's a lot of it in this movie.
Well, he brought that to the table in Thor, too, big time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of his thing. And, you know, this is a great-looking movie. The production design and the costume design, I mean, this is the kind of movie that will, and I know it's early, but it will be remembered at the end of the year. Like, Disney will push this movie for awards in those kinds of categories at this time next year. You know, and deservedly so. It's a gorgeous-looking film. The actors, they're pretty good. I mean, you know, Lily James is a great choice for Cinderella. She's, you know, she's got a great presence and, you know, she's very charming. And she's basically the mantra of the film is, you know, have courage and be kind. I mean, literally, that's the words that come out of her mouth a lot in this film. And those are, you know, nice messages for kids. And I think that's the target audience here. This is a movie that will definitely satisfy, you know, the 4, 5, or 6-year-old girl who's going through her princess phase. You know, this is a movie for her, definitely. And I think, you know, it's an okay movie that is, like I said, free of cynicism. There's no smirk. It's very sincere. And that's kind of nice. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for that. But at the same time, you kind of like, there could have been something a little bit more. There could have been a little bit more meat on it, and you know the sequence of you know the prince getting everyone to try on the magic slipper. Okay, you don't need the African American woman to do that, or the old woman to do that. I think the prince has already seen Cinderella's face. You know,
right.
There's no point in really getting everybody in the town to try on the slipper. That's always been a big flaw in the Cinderella story, as far as I'm concerned. Like, you just saw her face. That's
yeah,
all you
right.
To see is her face. Why do we have to have
right.
Everybody try on the slipper?
Right.
So this is an okay movie, you know. I think, I think it's going to have long legs at the box office, it's... As far as movies go, I think, and what's out there right now, you could do a lot worse.
Okay. All right, so that's Cinderella, which is out right now and did very, very well over the box office weekend with $70 million. All right, Colin, hang on, okay?
All right.
We got another movie to talk about. It's Liam Neeson's. no Michelle Pfeiffer's, but just Liam Neeson's new movie called Run All Night, and we'll talk about that coming up after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on a Monday morning, and we always review the new movies on Monday morning. Colin Suter is with me. Eric is on assignment. All right. Colin, tell us about Run All Night.
All right. Well, this is the latest thriller starring Liam Neeson as a former mob enforcer. A guy who used to be hired to basically kill anyone he was asked to kill by, you know, mob boss. Played by Ed Harris. Now he's kind of a lost soul. He's kind of a drunk who gets hired to play Santa at a Christmas party thrown by the mob. It's very demeaning. And he has a son who he has lost touch with over the years, but still watches from a distance. His son, Mike, is staying on the straight and narrow as a limo driver with a wife and kid. But he gets hired to drive a limo by two Albanian drug dealers who happen to be in business with Ed Harris's son. And he ends up witnessing his murder that, you know, leaves Ed Harris's son dead and Liam Neeson's son is the prime suspect in that murder. Neeson knows about this and will basically stop at nothing to protect his son from Ed Harris, who will stop nothing at having him killed. So Run All Night, basically, the title refers to basically all this happening in one night. and it's basically, it's a chase film. Ed Harris and his goons are, you know, chasing Liam Neeson and his son. Liam Neeson's son, of course, resents the hell out of Liam Neeson, doesn't want to have anything to do with it, but knows that he's probably the best chance he has at, you know, at protection. So this is from a director named, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this.
I don't know if I'm going to be any help either.
Jaume is his first name. Why? Maybe? I don't know. I'm sorry to any Hispanic Americans out there listening if I screwed that up. Colette Sarah is his last name. But this is a guy, you know, he started out doing horror movies, very forgettable horror movies, House of Wax, Orphan, from last decade.
Well, I don't know if Orphan is all that forgettable, quite frankly.
Man, I forgot it even.
Oh, seriously?
I never saw the movie.
Oh, so you didn't see it?
I never saw Orphan. And when when it came up in conversation the other night, it took me a few minutes to like remember that it even existed. And Sergio Mims, our friend Sergio, was laughing just the way you were about it right now, saying, "You remember Orphan if you saw it."
Oh, you would, man. You would. Yeah. I mean, oh, man.
and then I looked at the book, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, that movie. Oh right. Okay. Now, I remember it existing. And
Sarsgaard, man.
Yeah. So so now I sort of feel like I need to see Orphan.
Oh, no. You know what? You got to see it. Just okay. For posterity reasons, you have to see Orphan. You have to.
Okay. But that started working with Neeson a little bit more with Unknown and Nonstop and still, you know, producing sort of lukewarm results. And so there's very little reason to expect anything good from Run All Night, but I'll tell you what, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
it's, you know, this is, sort of actually along the lines of Walk Among the Tombstones, from last year. This is Liam Neeson doing an action movie, but with a little bit of depth to it. He's playing a very interesting character. You know, this is not, you know, he's, it's a richly drawn character, I thought. And Ed Harris isn't just playing a bad guy. He's a pretty interesting character, too. And they're both, you know, they have a lot of screen time together that's, you know, not rushed. It's very, you know, there's scenes in here that are allowed to breathe. And letting these two actors just do their thing is a pretty cool thing to see. The action and the editing is pretty tight. Would have liked a few, you know, less close-ups during the fight scenes, but and I kind of wish in the third act, there's a moment in the third act where I thought the movie was going to end and I would have been very satisfied, but then it kind of prolongs things into a more conventional way that kind of frustrated me a little bit. So it's not a perfect movie by any means, but I think judging from, you know, the low expectations I had going in, you know, may have helped. But, I mean, this is a very solidly written film that, you know, that benefits from having two really strong actors at the center of it, as the good guy and the bad guy. And this is a movie that's, I think, you know, worth seeing.
I agree, man. I really enjoyed it. And again, you know, like you, I have, you know, seen the last few Liam Neeson's movies. I liked Walk Among the Tombstones, though. That was
I did too.
Actually, yeah. A movie I think is very solid. But a lot of the other stuff, like You're Taken 3 and all that other stuff, nonstop, is really not very memorable. But this is good, man. I actually think this is a very solid film with some really good performances in it. And, you know, to see Liam Neeson and Ed Harris, they've got, you know, like, I would compare it to, like, well, I mean, it's sort of like they've got that Heat moment, you know, with the Pacino and the...
Right,
De Niro,
right.
You know, they've got that Heat scene, which really works beautifully in the movie. I don't want to give away, there's a cameo from one of my favorite actors ever in this movie that I didn't know he was in it, and I don't want to give it away. I'm not going to say who it is, but it's great to see him. So, and I really am a fan of Joel Kinnaman. I've been a fan of his since, you know, since The Killing, and he does a lot of good work here. Common's really good in it. I thought this was a really solid film, and didn't expect to like it, but liked it a lot more than I thought I would. And so I totally recommend Run All Night. I think it's terrific on many levels. Well, there you go. So Run All Night, Colin and I both like it, and so there you go. Next week, I guess the big one is The Gunman, right? The Sean Penn movie from the director of Taken.
Good. The Gunman, and then you got your Divergent sequel.
Oh, that's
Insurgent.
Right. Insurgent, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
And you also got Kumiko, the Treasure Hunter, which will be interesting to talk about. And a wonderful, well, I said my review already, a little horror movie called It Follows that if you can see in the big screen, you should.
We'll talk about that next week. Very excited about that movie.
Yeah.
Very excited. All right, man. So then we got that next week. And Eric will be joining us next week. Colin, thanks for covering all this stuff for me.
Sure. My pleasure.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.